Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house this morning. Amen, amen. If we were to dismiss right now, I'd say we've had an awesome morning as the Spirit of the Lord has been so amazing in this house and the presence of God. I love the presence of God because after a week of a lot going on, a lot going on. I've just walked in this morning, just the presence of God's like taking a warm bath, you know. It's just refreshing. It's so awesome. My girls have these little things called bath bombs, you know. I didn't know there was such a thing, but they got a little thing called bath bombs. And I just feel like the Lord's just dropped a bath bomb in here this morning. It's just refreshing. And I just love that. I love that. And today, I just want to talk to you for just a moment. Now, this is going to be a real basic message, but in this just simple message, there's a lot here that has to do with everything in your life, every aspect of your life. Really, this message really drives that every part of your life, and so it's kind of a wrap up today. When we talk about the summit, we're pushing forward, we're moving forward into what God's called us to do. And I just want to say this today. I feel. There's a change that's happening in us as we move into more of an apostolic model of what God wants the church to be. And, you know, the Lord never meant for our churches to become just a Sunday morning event, but that our church would be just a equipping place so that we could go do what God's called us to do. Amen. And so I'm so thankful that I hear reports every week of people that are doing church outside the four walls of the church. And that is God's will. That's His purpose. That's His plan. This is an equipping place. We get here, we get started, we get refreshed, we kind of just get our tank filled up, and then we go do what God's called us to do. And I think that's so amazing, and I'm super, super, super excited about it. And I believe that we're in for the best year of our life. This coming year is going to even be better than this year has been, and we're just moving into what God has called us to do. So today I'm talking about this one word, and it's called passion. Everybody say passion. I love this time of the year. The weather's cool. This morning, my daughter walked out with me out of the house, and she said, "Oh, Dad, it feels so good out here." I was like, "Yes, it does." You know, but we live in Louisiana, so we know that's not going to stay the same, but it feels good for right now. We're excited about it. But I love in the evening time when you are this time of the year, you know, you smell the people burning. They've got little fire pits in their backyard, or they're burning their leaves, and I love that smell. I don't like the smoke because they don't like me, but I love the smell. The other night, we had some friends over, and we cooked for them. It was Peyton's birthday, and I built a big, nice fire out in the pit and let it burn down. I just kept loading it up with woods, got charcoal good and hot, and I cooked some steaks over an open fire. Them steaks was awesome. They were so good. I want one right now. And they were delicious. And it's just this time of the year when everybody seems to be so excited. It's just a good time about life and excitement and fun. One thing that always amazes me about this time of year is football season. I get so tickled at football season. I like football. I love to watch a good game of football. But I was just a few weeks ago, everybody was hating LSU. Come on, they was like, "Let's get rid of Les Miles. Come on, fire him." So we finally got our prayers answered, and so we have this new coach, and now we're winning games. And everybody, it's all the haters or all the lovers now. Hey, how many know that's passion right there? It was both passion when they was hating, and it's passion when they're loving. They're just passionate about football. Man, it's so exciting. You see purple and gold everywhere now. Before, everybody was kind of like, "I ain't wearing my shirt, man." But now they're winning. They're passionate about it, so excited about football. We're not going to talk about the Saints. We're just going to move along. And then there's this passion, whatever it is that we love, we're driven by it. And it could be all kinds of different things. I love to watch TJ. Thank you for doing the live in the morning, man. I've been watching live in the morning, TJ in the morning. I don't even like country music, but I love you. And so I've been watching live in the morning on Facebook because TJ makes me smile. Come on, he makes me happy. I'll be like, "Man, dude, you just made my day." You know, I wanted to say all kinds of things to him, but I don't. But anyway, that's the little shout out for you there, buddy. And so I just love when people are passionate about what they do, passionate about their life, passionate about doing their thing. You know, it's funny how it works, how people, one person's passion seems like another person's pain. Like a man sitting in a deer stand, or a woman, in a cold winter day, and they're just waiting for that opportunity for that buck to step out. And they wait, and they wait. It's so funny because when I was a hunter, I don't hunt much anymore, but when I was a hunter, I would wait, and the big buck would walk out, and I always say, "It's nice, but there's probably a bigger one, so I'm not going to shoot." And by the end of the year, I was thinking, what is I waiting on? Why did I shoot that deer? Passion. Passion drives you to get up the next day and sit and wait and wait. It's pretty crazy. Or maybe it's shopping. This is my new passion. I just love shopping. Just love going to the mall. Sitting in those comfortable chairs while the girls shop. It's just, I'm passionate about it. It's so awesome. Passionate about that. Some people's passion would just be wrapped up in a blanket by a fireplace reading your favorite book. Amen. Come on, can I get a better word? Amen. As I get older, I get more passionate about that. Like, hey, that would be nice. A little fire in the fireplace. I must be getting real old. Here's one I'm real passionate about. Headed to the gym to get the sweat on. I'm passionate about that. Yes, sir. Love to go to the gym. I really don't. I need to go, but you know why I don't go to the gym? Let me tell you why I don't go to the gym. Same reason a lot of you don't go, because it's not your passion. Sometimes you go because you feel like, I got to go do this because I need to go do this. I was saying last night, I haven't been going to the gym because I just have, life has been busy. But I can tell because I'm not going, even though I'm still eating pretty good, doing all those kind of things. You know what? I feel like I'm not hitting on all cylinders. I need to go to the gym. So you know what I need to do? I need to adjust my passion. I need to look at my purpose. And then if you look at your purpose, then you'll find your passion. Sometimes we don't get our passion because we're not looking at our purpose. We're going through the motions of life and doing things that they don't seem passionate because we've lost the purpose. We've lost the goal of what God created us to be. And so our passion wanes because we've lost sight of the purpose. And when we look at all of these different passions of life, maybe sometimes your passion, I know it seemed like growing up, and my dad's here today, and I honor him and my father-in-law. I watched these men that would work all day long. I mean, just work. And I mean, my father-in-law and I have been working this week. He still outworks me. And just working and passionate. But you know what drives that passion is the goal. What is the purpose? What is the end? What am I here for? What did God put me on this earth to do? How am I ever going to reach my summit if I don't have a passion about the things that God has called me to do? And we look at all these temporal things that we can find passion. They're not wrong. They're fun. The hunting, the shopping, the football, all those things are awesome. But they're just temporal. And it's funny to me how we can get so focused and so excited about the passion that only lasts for a moment and forget about the passions that are for eternity. And the reason we let the passions for eternity slip away is because in this busy life that we live, we forget the purpose. The purpose. Why did God put me here for? So I'm going to just talk about a few things that we need to talk about, just the things that really matter. Somebody say the things that really matter. I'm going to talk about four places. So if you're taking notes, these are four things that you need to think about today when you leave here. Four passions that are aligned with eternity. For the sake of understanding, actually all of these would be the same, but in one way or the other, they kind of fit together. But I'm breaking them down in four just so that you could have a better understanding. But really, they're one. They're four, but really, they're one. So number one, I'm passionate about God and my relationship with Him. He is. There's something that He's not just something that I fit into my schedule. But I'm passionate about Him. My eyes are fixed on the Father. I don't just work Him into my life somewhere. I'm passionate about Him. He's the reason I live. He's the reason I get up in the morning. He is the reason for my life. I'm passionate about the presence of God. I'm passionate about being with Him. I love God with all my heart. He's the center of everything that I do. 31 years ago, I made a decision to be obedient to the call of God. I was set free from a world of sin, craziness. As I was praying with someone this morning, I was talking about how when we've received so much grace, we ought to give so much grace. Because God's been good to me. Listen, in all of my failures and all of my weaknesses, the ones that from a long time ago and the ones from today, God has been good to me. And in my life, there's been these moments when the fire of God was burning within me. And I just was so passionate about the Spirit. And there's been times when the fire seemed to have gone out. When I look back at those times when it seems like the fire has gone out, it's because I got my focus off my purpose and I lost my passion. I got my eyes off the summit and I started looking at the things around me. And I started getting distracted with life. And I would lose my passion for His presence. And it would be in that moment that I would turn my attention back to the Lord. And in a single, I love you, Jesus, everything changes. Because He's the kind of God that doesn't leave us nor forsake us. He is with us even when we're not with Him. He has never changed His passion. He's never changed His purpose. He doesn't wake up one day and think, you know what, today I'm just going to change my passion. I'm going to change my purpose. No, His purpose is us every day, every moment. In my younger years, I remember the fire that was burning inside of me. I'll never forget the story. I've told it to you several times, but I want to say it again this morning. The short version, I was supposed to be mowing my dad's grass and his property, his business, and I was picking up the trash and getting ready. And I don't know what happened this day, but as I was picking up the stuff off the street so that I can mow the grass, I just started watching the cars go down this 5-lane road in front of my dad's office. And I in that moment, I was watching the cars. God began to speak to me about eternity. And he said, every one of these cars are filled with people. They represent souls. And I began to weep standing in the lawn over eternity. And I asked myself this question this week. I said, when's the last time, Pastor, you wept over eternity, over people going into eternity? When's the last time that you opened your heart and stood on the street corner out here? Maybe I need to go stand out there on the street corner and look at the cars that are passing by and say, where are these cars going? Where are these people going? If today was their last day, where would these people go? You see, that builds a passion inside of me for the purpose that God created me for. It gives me a passion for Him. And there needs to be a greater fire in my heart for the things of God today than there was 31 years ago. I need to stir up the fire more today than I did 31 years ago. And I need to have a passion for the things of the Spirit. Number two, a passion about being a godly husband and father. In March, Angela and I will be married 25 years. And really, honestly, and I'm not being funny this morning, it really doesn't seem like it's been that long. As we were standing here yesterday and we're preparing for our oldest daughter to get married, I was thinking, how did this happen so fast? Honestly, life passes us by like in a blink. And so right now you're walking through this life and you're trying to be a good husband and you're trying to be a good father and you're trying to be a good person and you're trying to just be good to your family. Listen, let me help you today. Life is flying by. And there's a lot, and God's the first church God has called you to is your family. There ought to be a passion inside of you to be honorable and to be stand up and be passionate about your family. Not just about them, but about what God has created you and them to do. That's good. A passion. So good. A passion. Listen, I'm going to be the first to raise my hand and say, in this marriage thing, oh, have I made some mistakes? Man, I've made some mistakes. And it's funny how when we're going through life and the enemy wants to remind us of our mistakes, but I want you to look at the greatness of God in your life. Look at the things that God has. Look at the things that God has brought you through. Instead of looking at the failures, start looking at the promises of God and start focusing on those, and your passion will be rekindled. Why? When is it rekindled? Because you're focused on your purpose. You're focused on what God has called you to do. I love that. So life can be draining, and when it is, We can lose our passion, but we have to stay focused on our purpose. Number three, passionate about God's calling in my life. There are times in ministry that there comes a time in ministry that we have to decide once and for all. There has to be a decision. This is what I'm called to do, and I'm going to do it with all my heart. And your answer to that is, I'm not called to ministry. Yes, you are. There's not a person in this place today that's not called to ministry. Maybe not to stand in here at this pulpit. Listen, this pulpit is just a very little small part of ministry. This is a very small part of ministry. Everybody in this place was called for ministry. And here's what we're going to move to as a model of an apostolic church, is being everyone knowing what their calling is and doing it. But you can't know what your calling is and doing it until you've walked into this place of, I'm passionate about being called. It's at that moment that you understand that, hey, I'm passionate about my calling, is that you step into your purpose. And your purpose reminds you of your calling. They work hand in hand, and you can't do one without the other. And listen, I'm not saying this to pick on anyone today, but if you just come and sit on the pews, you can lose your passion. It's so easy to lose your passion when you're just coming and sitting and watching the game and not in the game. Listen, I don't know about you, but I told you this last Sunday, as I was sitting on the sidelines and watching the little flag football game, there was something inside of me that says, I want to get out there and help them win. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to be in the game. I want to be doing what God's called me to do. It's those moments that I sit outside and I think, oh, I'm tired, or, oh, I got a lot going on. Oh, I just need a little break. Sometimes we take a break, and I'm not talking about a break to rest in your presence of God, but I'm talking about, I'm just exhausted, and we get distracted, and we take a break, but we take a break from our passion. And when we take a break from our passion, we get blinders, and we begin to see only selfish things. And then we start serving ourselves. And when we start serving ourselves, we miss our ministry. That's a good word right there. So we have to always be thinking about, hey, God, what did you create me to do? What did you create? As we talked a few weeks ago about the different gifts that God has given people and how those gifts work together. Sometimes we can get focused, and Michelle kind of tapped in this today, but we can get focused on the gifts that other people have and forget about what God's called me to do. And I'm just going to get in my lane, and I'm going to love it right here. I'm just going to do it with everything inside of me. And I'm not going to compare myself to this guy. And I'm not going to compare myself to this lady. But this is what God has called me to do. And I love what I'm doing. And I made a decision today. I made a decision that when all else fails, when everything else goes crazy, here's where I'm at. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be scratching my head wondering if I'm going to be here next week. I've already decided. This is where I'm at, that I'm going to be here. When you see me next time, I'm going to be in my lane. When you see me next week, I'm going to be in my lane. Next year, I'm going to be in my lane. The following, I'm going to be in my lane. There's something powerful about getting where you're supposed to be and getting your eyes on the purpose of God in your life. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, do it, work heartily as for the Lord and not for me, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. What happened to that, man? What happened to that? Just get in there and get it done. Come on, get it. I'm excited about it. Get it done. Get it done. I'm going to tell you a little funny story right here. Me and my father-in-law was putting some ceilings up in Holly and Peyton's new house. And I was, the first day I was like, okay, let's all get this done. That evening when I got off that ladder, I was like, I mean, everything. I didn't know I had those places that hurt. I didn't know they were existing. The next day we had to go back and do it again. I was thinking, all right, you can do this. But you know the funny thing about it was, when I got off the ladder the second day, it wasn't nearly as bad as the first day. What's the deal? The deal is that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you create muscles to do what you're supposed to be doing. You'll get that later. Sometimes it seems hard the first time around. Sometimes you got to do it because it needs to be done. But the longer you do it, you create a rhythm that helps you do it again. and again and again and again, and you create a passion. That passion grows inside of you. And I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm doing this unto the Lord. Let me just freeze here just a little bit. Let's take a little minute here. When you get up tomorrow and you go to work, don't go to work saying, oh my God, I got to go to work today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's probably people in here today that just dread going to work. You don't really love what you do. You could change the whole environment because God's given you the opportunity to do what you're doing. Be thankful for that job. Get up in the morning and say, I am thankful. I am blessed. I get to go to work today. I get to go do this thing that I'm doing. And I'm not doing it for my boss, and I'm not doing it for my coworker. I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm doing it because God has blessed me. Come on, somebody shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. If you have a job today, be thankful for that job. Don't get up dreading it. Say, I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm going to be passionate today about my job. And if you don't like the environment you're in, change it. Change the environment. Well, I really don't like the environment. People come to me, oh, pastor, pray for me a new job. I said, well, I thought you had a good job. I do, but there's somebody on the job that cusses all the time. And so? You think you're going to live in the world and you're not going to have, come on, get over yourself. Change the environment. Go be a light in the darkness. If you think it's that dark, turn your light up. That was a good word too. Number four, I'm passionate about my local church. You say, pastor, what are you going to preach? You're going to get us all revved up and do a cheerleading session about the church? No, the church is God's calling. He created the local church. He loves the local church. God loves the local church. And he put the church together for a purpose. So I love to be excited about my church and my church family. Now, I'm glad today that my family is here. I'm glad that I have my wife and my children. I'm glad that I have my parents and my in-laws in my life. I'm thankful for all the people in my life. But I'm just going to tell you today, as grateful as I am for them, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the people I get to do life with. It puts a joy in my heart to do life with the people that God has connected me with. And there's something powerful about when we learn to love the people we do life with. You know why the devil likes to cause division in the church? Because he likes to stop the progress of the kingdom. Right. And so he wants to cause division. And he'll start saying, he will start judging and criticizing and creating, and he'll start putting all this stuff inside the house of God and the local church because he wants to stop us from our passion. Because he knows if the church ever loves one another like Christ said for us to love one another, we're an unstoppable force. Amen. You can't stop this church when they're bound together in unity and loving one another. So the local church, God created the local church to move the kingdom forward. And when you think that you can do it without the local church, you are in big trouble. This independent spirit of I'm just going to do my own thing doesn't work. Why does it not work? Because God created the church to live life together. He didn't ever send anybody out by themselves. He sent them out in twos. He knew they needed somebody with them. God didn't create all of these different gifts to stand alone. He created them to work together. He calls this the body of Christ, and it was fitly joined together so that the body could produce and move the kingdom forward. Sometimes we get in this whole thing about myself, and then we try to become myself over here. And you know what we do? We set ourselves up for a big target for the enemy. And the enemy takes us out. Listen, there's no perfect churches. Can somebody say amen? There's no perfect pastors. Can somebody say amen? And this one right here sure ain't perfect. Nor under the other pastors on our staff. And there's no perfect saints. Can you say amen to that? So we're living in an unperfect world. If you want a perfect world, you're going to have to find another planet. Maybe you should go to the moon and live there alone. See how you like that. You see, we always have these ideas about the imperfections of other instead of creating an atmosphere where we work together for the kingdom of God, love the local church, and move the kingdom of God forward. Now, when I say the local church, I want to broaden that just a little bit. And I want to talk about what God has created us to do as a nation, but God created us as a region. We have to love our neighboring churches. Yeah. Come on. If they believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, then we ought to partner with them and say, hey, we may not agree on every little thing, but we agree on moving the kingdom forward. Yes. Let me just stop there a little bit. How many are over 30 years old in this place today? How many believed exactly what you believed when you was 9? Nobody. Because here's the deal. As we grow and mature and we learn and we study the word, there's things that change. But yet we will cause division over something that don't need to have division over because we have a difference in opinion. I don't even agree with myself sometimes. So how am I going to divide myself? Can I get a better amen? So we got to love people. This needs to be a passion inside of us. I don't have to like everything you do or agree with you everything you do, but I need to love you because God put us together and I don't do well without you. I don't do well without you. So I got to love the local church, love the people. When there's a passion for the people of God has put in our life, we tend to start seeing all the wrong rather than all the right. Why don't we change our lens this morning? Why don't we start looking? My dad used to always say, people look for people's faults like it's a rainbow and there's a pot of gold at the end. Why don't we start looking for people's blessing in their life? Look for people's gifts. Look for what they do well. Come on, somebody. Why don't we point out their greatness? Why don't we point out the good things in their life? Better yet, why don't we point out the good things in our own life? Stand in the mirror before you leave the house and say, God, you created me for this day. I belong to you. I'm a child of the King. And whatever I have, whatever is a shortcoming in my life, Lord, you make up the difference. I trust you. I'm going to be the best I can be today for your kingdom. Can somebody say amen? Passion drives us to be involved, to improve things, to bring it to the next level. To bring to the next level. Now, I'm just going to do a little pastoring here. It's always true when people start losing their passion for the kingdom of God, they start picking out the faults of the church. Listen, if you're having a hard time with some of the things that are wrong in this church, come see me because I know all of them. I got a longer list than you do. But I don't spend all my time looking at what's wrong. Because there's more that's right. And so what we do is when we start looking at everything that's wrong, you know what we do? We become a part of the wrong. Because that's where our focus is. And that's where our passion becomes. That's a good word. When we start looking at the things that are right, our passion changes. We shift into that gear like, man, look at all the things that God's doing. It's easy to look at the devil, the negative, because the devil wants us always turn our head toward that. You know why the devil wants you to look at that? Because he's stealing your passion too. Let the devil have your passion. Don't let the devil get your praise. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your focus on the kingdom of God. Keep your focus on the things that are good. Pray for the things that we need help in. And put your hands to work to change them. Amen. I love my church so much that I will help bring it the spirit of excellence to it in every possible way. That needs to be our attitude. I love my church so much. I love it so much. It's funny to me, somebody can say, hey, pastor, there's no toilet paper in the bathroom. I really have people come on Sunday morning and stop me in the hall. Hey, pastor, there's no toilet paper in the women's bathroom. Yeah, I'll stop right now. I'll go do that. Why don't you ask where the toilet paper is and go put some toilet paper in the women's bathroom? Now, I'm just using a simple analogy. We can look at it in the temporal things of the Spirit. Pastor, it seems like the Spirit of God is not what it used to be in our church. Well, I did see you in the prayer room this morning. I missed you on Monday night prayer. We had outreach. Where were you at? How much have you fasted this week? Did you have time to pray this week? Have you set your affections on the Lord? Now, I'm not picking on you this morning. I'm just really helping you understand. It's when we get distracted and looking at the things that are negative, we lose focus of our passion. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. That's exactly what he wants to do. But when we get passionate about the kingdom of God, we say, hey, I'm just going to use this because this is awesome. Next week is work day. I'll be there. I was thinking when they said a sign-up list, why are we doing a sign-up list? Why don't y'all just all come and let's have a party? Why do we need a sign-up list? Let's just come and serve. Why do we need a sign-up list for ushers and hosts and greeters and parking lot team and whatever else? Why don't we just get excited about the kingdom of God and come serve? It would be awesome if we had more greeters than we had people showing up. That, you know what that would do? That would say we got plenty of room for more people to come. Well, it's getting really quiet in here. Passion. Somebody said kids' church. Yeah, that's a good one. Pastor, we need more people in the nursery. Well, what Sunday would you like to serve? Oh, I can't. I really don't care about the kids. I just care about my kid. Passion. Passion. Sorry. Matt, that's your fault. You provoked me. Let me finish before you do. Passion is the most powerful thing in our life. Here's what I'm going to say. I love obedience. Y'all know that I preach and live and try to. Obedience is the key to so many things. Let me tell you something. This is something I figured out in the last few weeks. You can never have obedience without first passion. You say, well, I'm just going to be obedient to God. You won't be for long. Because if you don't have passion, you're going to lose that. You're going to find a way not to be obedient. But when you have passion, you know what? I'm gonna serve the kingdom of God, not because I have to, because I get to. Right. I'm going to serve God not because I don't want to go to hell. You know what? This probably is a terrible thing to say, but I don't serve God because I'm afraid of going to hell. That's good. I don't wake up every day, oh my God, if I don't serve the Lord, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to burn for eternity. It's going to be terrible. Now, you're saying, Pastor, are you making fun of hell? No, I believe hell's a real place. And I believe people who don't serve the Lord are going to go to hell. So I'm not making fun of that. But that's not what drives me to serve the Lord. What drives me to serve the Lord is I love the Lord. And he's my everything. He's not my something. He's my everything. He's not Lord on Sunday and then not Lord the rest of the time. He's my king. I'm his servant. I love him. He doesn't make me serve him. I get to serve him. It's my passion to be in his presence. It's my passion to serve my family. It's my passion to serve my church. It's my passion to pray. It's my passion. It's my passion to be in the presence of God. I'm doing this because I am in love. I'm passionate about it. Because we do what we love. And we love what we do. Bishop Tenney would always say this. Worship team, you can come. Show me your bank statement and show me your calendar, and I'll tell you where your passion is. If you're struggling with your passion, just get out your bank statement and get out your calendar, and you can know exactly where you're at. It's a good reflection. You will never reach the summit without passion. You can stand there and stand there and stand there and talk about climbing up that great mountain and seeing all the world. But if you don't have passion, you're going to be standing at the bottom of the hill wishing you could go up. Matthew says this, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, This is the greatest and first commandment. But the second is like this: love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law of the prophets. Everything hinges on this passion for God and for people. Here at the Harbor, we believe that we're serving God and we're serving people. That God has called us to reach out to this generation, this next generation, to pour our hearts out, to give, to serve, to love people. It has to be our passion. It can't just be our slogan that we put underneath our name. It's got to become our heart. I'm serving God, and I'm serving people. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of church programs. There's a lot of things that we could, you know, you could do this program and that program, and I'm not anti-program. I'm just saying if the foundation of those programs are not passion for God and for people, they're mechanical, they go through the motions, and nobody's life has changed. We were talking about in our planning for next year, we're talking about having these events like Friends Day, or we had our Crawfish Bowl, or we have all these events that we've done over the years. But the question is, did we get so caught up in the event that we forgot the person? Did we boil 12,000 pounds of crawfish and give them all away and then forgot about what we boiled crawfish for? Because honestly, it could just be a whole day of work. Or is it for the people that we're serving? Is it the kingdom of God that we're looking at? Because we don't need a gimmick to get people to church. Jesus never used gimmicks. You know what Jesus did? He went and healed the sick and raised the dead, opened the blinded eyes, preached the gospel. It was no trickery. It was passion. And guess what? The multitudes followed him. Why? Because they said, hey, I want to be a part of that. And if we get passionate about the kingdom of God, we'll advance the kingdom. We'll advance our own lives. Is there a burning hunger inside of your heart for the things of the Spirit? You see, sometimes if we would just get this. I want you to get this right here. If we would do 100% of what's right in front of us, whatever the Bible says, whatever your hands find to do it with all your heart. If we would do 100% what's right in front of us. 100% what's right in front of us. So many times God puts something right in front of us and the enemy's trying to distract us with other things. Let's do 100%. God put this person today in the coffee shop sitting next to me. This is right in front of me. If we would do 100% what's right in front of us, everything would work out. But when we're doing a little here, a little there, and we're distracted, and we're trying to find, and we're trying to please people, and we're trying to do all these things, we only give a little bit to a lot of things, and we miss it. But God's saying, do it whatsoever your hands find to do. Right now, you know what's in front of me? This. I'm going to do it unto the Lord with everything I got. So when I'm on family vacation, my wife will tell you I'm doing better. When I'm on family vacation, be on family vacation. Don't go to work. Don't answer your phone. Don't do a. Today, I'm building this church. This is what's in front of me. I'm going to be the best I can be at it. When I'm at work, I'm not going to be distracted with other things. I'm going to be the best I can be. When it's time to do what God's called me to do, I'm going to be the best I can be. We're talking about passion this morning. This is a very biblical thing. It sounds like just a pep rally, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't get this, you're going to live. I really feel like why the church lives, so many people in the church live like they're on a roller coaster. It's because of this passion thing. Because passion's high, it's celebrated one day, it's down on the bottom the next. And God's saying, hey, just keep your attention up here. Keep your focus on this. Keep your eyes upon the prize. Look to me, the author and finisher of your faith. I'm passionate about my love for God. I long to be in His presence. I'm passionate about my family. I want to be the best I can be. I'm passionate about my calling, my purpose. You see, God called me to preach the gospel long before I heard the voice of God. He called me before the worlds were framed. When I was 7 years old, sitting in my mom's lap in a Sunday school room, and the Lord baptized me with the Holy Spirit, He knew the direction I was going. When I was 14 years old, and I was standing at the youth camp and the campgrounds, and I was standing by the little magnolia tree, and the Lord said, I'm calling you to preach the gospel. It wasn't that day that the Lord got up and said, hey, Marvin, you did good today in the worship this morning. I think I'm going to call you to preach. No, He knew before the worlds were framed. He was laying this out the whole time. And after years of my drugs and alcohol, God didn't change His mind. This is so awesome. I hope you get this today. God didn't change His mind because I was not where I needed to be. See, we think God changes His mind over here because we're being good. So He says, I want you to do this because you're on the mark. So I'm going to give you a call. No, He gave you a call long before the worlds were framed. He hasn't changed His mind. And so while I was in the world, living like the devil, you hear me? I was living like the devil. The Lord was still using me to minister to people because He called me to do that. Some of my best messages I've ever preached in my life, I was stoned out of my mind. Some people think that's funny, but you know what that was? That was God saying, I hadn't forgot who you are, boy, and you don't need to forget who you are. And then 31 years ago, He, woke me up. He said, okay, it's the time now, son. Oh, I could get so bogged down with life. How do I get it all done, God? Let me just ask yourself that question this week, because I have. How do I get it all done? And God said, passion. Passion. Keep your eyes on the purpose. I'm passionate about the kingdom of God and the blessings of God.